night, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. My name is Keith. I'm here, as always, with my buddies, Chuck and John. Spring is here. The weather is beautiful. I'm taking my son to the park every day. Someone has to do it. Chuck and John don't live this life. They live a life of depravity and depression.
They're looking at me. Chuck lives that life every other weekend.
Right, what's that? Going to the park?
Oh, with his son.
You guys are talking all that smack. I went to the park 2 days in a row with my kid today and yesterday. So you guys can...
The park is it's a new experience for me. I mean, because a little Chase Buddy Bunger is kind of small. He's a small guy at the park now.
Yeah.
But he's running around. He's walking.
John Burr, fun fact, I hate the outdoors.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I took my son
to... It doesn't show.
I took my son to a kid's museum today. He refused to leave the house in anything but a space suit. He has a astronaut outfit that he will not wear. And we wanted to go to the museum. He cried to go there, but also wouldn't.
Chuck's kid is really fat.
He's not fat.
He's not fat. He's just huge.
He's Zeebo.
He's enormous.
A Zeebo child.
He's only Zeebo, though, if you know what his age is supposed to be.
So if you want to envision
what his size is supposed to be.
If you want to envision what Chuck's son looks like in an astronaut outfit, it's just a full-grown man in an astronaut outfit.
Yeah.
Chuck, when we used to do the podcast at my place, brought the kid over for my neighbor to babysit. This is such a pro moves by Chuck. Didn't alert the neighbor to his son's size, so the neighbor immediately screamed. Secondly, fully loaded diaper.
Yeah. And he takes
on the drop-off?
Grown man growlers.
Yeah.
And this neighbor is definitely listening right now.
It may or may not have happened after I dropped him off. I don't know.
My 16-month-old has clogged our toilet.
Wow.
Say
more
what?
More times than I ever. Because, like, you know, we just take his diaper and just, you know, you dump the poopy in the toilet. You know,
why not?
So he's definitely clogged our toilet more than I ever have.
Wow.
That's amazing.
He puts them out.
He's like Dwight Howard. He puts the stickum on it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Invest in meat tenderizer.
Today.
That's a Chuck ex-wife joke.
I was gonna say today in the park we were playing some kids and I have that first anxiety of my little kid, like, you know, like, don't hurt yourself.
I won't let my dogs play with other dogs.
But we were playing with some other kids. Their guardians were kind of punk rock ish or just tattered.
I think it's called crusty punk now, isn't it?
I mean, no, actually, crusty. these were very attractive, youngish people. Just tattooed head to toe, like tank topped.
You know what? And poles were those. What are those? The sexy tattoo girls on the internet.
Suicide girls.
Those were suicide boys.
No. So my son was playing alongside some suicide girls and their children. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say the children's actual names because that seems rude. And maybe they're actually
Malachi.
And it's possible.
Damien.
No, but it's possible they're actual people. Like, I think I'm going to Google the names later. But let's just say here are some comparable names.
Archangel, the girl.
These aren't the actual names, but their names were comparable. To Boogie and Hostage.
Oh wow,
Hostage.
That's incredible.
I'm saying there was some wild names bouncing around the the park today, and I was like, oh, I'm not going to judge. You know, I named my child like a homeschooled, you know,
Ransom and Frolic.
1900s. Yeah. So anyway, so the park was good. Before the park, did you guys anyone have breakfast today?
You know it.
What'd you have, Chuck?
I went with the old standard. We're about to have the segments shortly. It's our best of.
Some steak and eggs.
Did some steak and eggs at Charlie Bob's in East Nashville.
Where's the phone call?
Sorry, bro.
Oh, it was a morning after thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, double to hell with you.
Yeah.
My jealousy just intensified.
It was kind of great. I got dropped off at my car after the meal, and the girl I was with was like, hey, thanks for paying. And then I was like, oh, I forgot to pay.
Nice.
Yeah, so what was hilarious. And she
dine and dash.
She probably thought I made it up, but I had my car parked out of music venue's parking lot. I left my lights on the night before. When I got there, my car was off.
This is a very Chuck story.
Yeah, this is the most Chuck thing I've ever heard.
So not only was my car battery dead, but I was also stuck inside of a pay parking lot. It was behind Mercy Lounge, and you have to pay to get out.
Right.
So
you're never seeing this girl again.
No.
Or you're married.
I had told her to go pay for it and I was going to meet her later, but then I never met her. And then also, this was like a pay parking lot for like employees in this, you know, building across the street. So in order to get out, there was no ticket. I had to, thankfully, I had the ATV. and I jumped over a curb just between...
I know that curb. I've jumped it many times.
Over a rail in between a fence.
I don't care about those curbs.
But I was playing the A-Team theme song.
This is great. So you
I did it.
Did you love it when the plan came together?
Every time.
But did you end up paying for breakfast or no?
No, I didn't.
No, oops. No.
So you can't go back to Charlie Bob's?
No, no, she went and
paid. It's okay.
Oh,
she went,
yeah. Oh, I thought you were telling her to pay for the parking.
No, I told her to go pay for the food because my car was...
That's a funny story.
She may have thought I was lying.
So she might not have paid for the breakfast.
She might not have.
Holy smokes. That's
you know what? I kind of like that move. I kind of like the...
If you were playing Xbox, a thing would have popped up and it said, you've unlocked pure Scalaway.
That's right. You got the... 10 gamer points.
You get a notification.
That's incredible. So, yeah, that was my breakfast.
That's incredible. I have had about 6 Coors Lights, 2 Tecates, mm-hmm. and a Snickers bar that was with almonds.
Almonds are healthy, John.
Thank you.
They're good for you. Good for your skin.
I have had a full day. I got up and have been running around like a jerk off all day.
Mm. Well, good.
Just no fun. So I had a very unhealthy breakfast. Each of those Coors Lights was like a different meeting with a different person.
It keeps it going. It's a social lubricant.
Yeah. But you know, it's going to come crashing down because then, like, Chuck and I are going to go out for this and I haven't eaten and I'm going to end up, like, vomiting and sick and sad. Probably cry.
Mm. We'll be at a comedy show, though. So that's usually what John does anyway.
Yeah.
Right. I had just leftovers. I'm experiencing sort of a spring break. One, the weather's nice.
Right.
But two, my part time job is literally on spring break. So now,
nice.
I'm home all week. So I've been going to restaurants that I haven't been to. They're close to my house.
So
I've been doing some little leftover. I have some leftover.
Honey baked ham?
Little leftover tacos. Some leftover tacos.
Where do you get tacos?
Well, this place I went to Bar Taco.
That's not a chain. I don't believe you.
Right. Well, again, John, there aren't that many chains near my house. Although sure. there are across the street that I don't cross because then it feels like I don't live in a nice neighborhood.
Mm. Yeah, there you go.
It's the Berry Hill.
Yeah, it's the Berry Hill heading over to the... Oh, it's like, this is now gross looking. All right, those were our breakfast. After our breakfast, we do our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our opportunity to make right what we might have gotten wrong in any previous episode. Does anyone have anything they need to make amends for?
Keith, you're always wrong. Why don't you go first this week? I did ask Keith for advice on 2 bets this week. Horribly wrong on both.
Mm. No, but right. I gave you the Keith curse.
Oh, you're right. I should have listened to you. I did listen to you.
Yeah, the Paris line is you ask me what I would bet, and
I
tell
bet
you
the opposite.
If it was my money, I'd do this, and then I just leave it to you. It's like
swish every damn time.
Yeah. I believe you asked me about like a Suns were getting 10 in Utah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah.
They lost by like 50 points.
They lost by 50.
They literally scored 69 points.
Nice.
How does that even happen?
Well, the Warriors pretty much only scored that against the Spurs, but
We can talk about that later.
Story. No.
I got theories.
I will apologize. And in my style, I'm
not
prepared.
Really apologize.
No, I'm prepared for this. I will apologize.
Full last?
No, absolutely. Wow. Full last, but I expect to apologize for this apology in the future. Chuck style.
Absolutely.
I apologize to Tim Hardaway Jr.
No, you're going to. Yeah.
I roundly derided the Hawks for trading a first-round pick for this not good New York Knick, for the fixed income or the fixed pay scale of a first-round pick seemed way more valuable than picking up a guy who'd struggled to play NBA basketball. However, in the last 3 games, he has averaged 19 points per game and is shooting a robust 63% from the field and has hit 11 threes. That is good. That is some nice play. That is the potential that people saw in him as a tall shooter.
Joe Don Baker once said, sun shines on a dog's ass every now and again.
Mm.
It's a bad basketball player.
His daddy was good.
His daddy would be bad now, though.
Would he be?
In today's game?
Oh, he'd be amazing.
Tim
Hardaway did what he did against a hand check defense.
He was
I assume he would get good at shooting,
I think
too.
He would be.
It's like when you look at Gary Payton and Tim Hardaway stats, you're like, ooh, that ain't going to work now. But they would just get good at shooting.
They would definitely learn to shoot.
Well, I rescind, I recant.
Shoot from deeper.
Yeah, they weren't high-volume three-point shooters, but Tim Hardaway's pull-up
skills.
Oh, my goodness.
I think Tim Hardaway would be killing it.
he's a water bug point guard. I think he would be the kind of point guard the current day Warriors would have an awful time defending because he can pass out of his mind.
Oh, you just mean a point guard.
There's just, or any point guard. Yep.
They're not really into that whole defending the point guard thing.
But no. So I do side with you a little bit, John.
Right.
I don't think Tim Hardaway is great. However,
he's a relentless chucker.
From someone that I've put down a lot, I got to say he's put together three straight good games, and I feel like I needed to say something about it.
Understandable.
What do you guys have?
Oh, me?
Yes, John. My What's your apology?
Well, we didn't do a Grizz epilogue last week.
Yeah, it's true.
It's been a hell of a week.
We were down. We were up. We were in a dark place. We were also headed to Memphis, so we were recording later than normal. I know. I had to.
That was an epologue of sorts.
I had to wrap things up. But also, we had just seen them get crucified in consecutive games, and we were like, "Oh, this is not fun anymore."
Mm-mm. And try as Keith may have tried, Chuck and I still found a way to sit next to him for that Grizzlies game.
We did. We hunted him down. He tried to avoid us, but
I found him.
Well, I had tickets in a different section than uh-huh. so. Well, dear listener, Chuck and John brought like 10
16
people.
DJs.
No. Yeah. So I'm going to
16 hip hop DJs.
So we commuted to Memphis on a Wednesday, just about a 3-hour drive. And
five if you're with a bunch of DJs.
Ooh, it's about 6.5 hours. You got time to get beer. You got time to get ice. Everybody's peeing everywhere. People are playing jokes on people, namely me.
I think what you need to know about the van full of guys that Chuck and John were with, they rounded up 10 guys on a Wednesday.
Oh yeah,
like
these are not
like,
normal.
Like my buddy Ben was like. How do you find 10 guys on a Wednesday to drive to Memphis? It's like, who are free to like, oh,
did
yeah.
Did you say, look, square?
See, all my friends are DJs and bartenders.
We just blew into a conch shell and they appeared. It was not hard. We could have had more.
Oh,
well, we had some people say they were coming and then not come. And those people are dead to us.
There's also about a half a
party
dozen
boy.
People who specifically texted me saying, I want to go to the next one. So we could have a party bus full
we're
of
we're about
this.
To have a small business.
We need to start mm-hmm. taking deposits. Anytime a person's like, hey, I want to go to this next thing, put 20, give me 20 bucks.
I'm not gonna
We've only had two people bail, but they bailed.
They bailed. Well, it's an incredible
experience. Word life, right, Chuck?
Word life.
Well, I will say... So I was sitting not with the gang of 10.
The gaggle of Snapchatters.
Mm-hmm. And actually I was talking with one of the Memphis Grizzlies people who helped us with the watch party. And by the way, we're having another Memphis Grizzlies watch party coming up on April 5th. By the way, Nashville people in person, internet
Jet
people.
Jet Sports Bar upstairs, 2-for-1 beverages.
Internet people on Rabble.
Chicago but Bulls suck.
I was chasing down some of those Grizzlies wrestling masks, the Luchador masks. And
Luchador.
Luchador. Oh, excuse me. I don't even know. Mm-hmm. I just been reading it. And so she's like, yeah, where are you guys at? And I'm like, well, I'm in section 108. The other gang is in 208 and I wouldn't go there.
Shout out Carly.
But anyway, but you guys, because it was a, will we say, lightly attended affair, the Grizzlies Timberwolves.
Sit where you like.
Midweek. Yeah, yeah. It's free admission, boys and girls. Come on down and sit close.
Mm.
So you guys made your way down. We had a good time walking.
Oh, those Grizz.
That was a great game.
Great
the Grizz stay competitive, and we saw some Levine-isms non-pareil. Mm-hmm. Carl Anthony Towns is fun to watch.
Yep.
Wiggins is a submissive little girl.
Mm-hmm. But that is so apology from John for no Grizz epilogue. Chuck,
coming back this week.
What do you got?
I mean, I'm going to apologize to the Grizz Nation, too.
What?
I've been...
Double up!
...on a podcast with two very, probably the biggest Grizzlies fans I know.
Sadly. For,
outside of Memphis, we say to our listeners.
That's what we say outside
Whatever.
Of Memphis.
Whatever.
These guys are freaks of nature and have made me, you know, question my ability to be a fan. But now, I am all in on these Memphis Grizzlies. Guys, they are incredible. It's hard to imagine... A team like this. They are a magical organism that feeds on chaos and havoc. Rules do not govern the Grizz universe.
Hey, I got retweeted by the one and only Haralabos Vulgaris
mm-hmm.
for comparing the Grizzlies to a Mongol horde.
That's an incredible... So there's a guy named Xavier Munford on your team now, apparently?
I did not know that.
Xavier.
Xavier. X. There's,
he's not a Xavier. It's
Xavier.
Yeah, he's one of those. I mean, you can pronounce it Xavier or Xavier, and he is an Xavier. Xavier.
Okay,
yeah.
Like Professor Xavier.
The cool way.
I'm just kidding. I know who that is.
Okay.
The cool way.
I kind of want to get John to go off again.
Yeah, you want to do this again? 2 weeks in a row?
Man.
Do you want to know who Professor Xavier is married to? Lalandra. She is an intergalactic
named
Lalandra.
I saw that new trailer, X-Men Apocalypse.
Absolutely. So
I don't want to get too far off of Chuck's final apology, but I might be getting too old because X-Men Apocalypse looks terrible to me.
Mm.
The Captain America Civil War looks atrocious. Batman Superman coming out looks like the worst thing ever made.
It's pronounced Super Batman.
Is it? Yes. Is it
they
now?
Changed the title.
Sprapperman.
Super Batman?
It's Super Batman.
Anyway.
You're going to go anyways.
No, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
I think if I can find my way out.
Let's go together. Hands intertwined. Fingers intertwined.
Sounds fun.
Popcorn trick.
I'll see a movie.
You and me.
Yeah. So I apologize to the Grizz, you know.
Hey, Chuck, I think you should apologize to the city of Memphis.
Oh, by the way.
Because Chuck is now an urban legend.
I don't think you can keep doing that. Eventually, that apology, it's just no one will accept it anymore.
No.
You can't keep apologizing to the city of Memphis every time you go to Memphis.
You know how there's like the Bell Witch in some areas, and then there's like, you know, every community has a...
Beetlejuice?
Yeah, has like an urban legend. Now in Memphis, there's that man in the mask with the bucket on the bar... At Coyote Ugly.
What did
and that man is Chuck Anderson.
Did the Cutty Sark make an appearance?
It was the fantastic diver bucket from Silky.
Silky O'Sullivan is the official Fast Break breakfast bar.
It is. So we go there, we pregame, we postgame, and then we let the debauchery roll. But I was handed from our friends at the Grizzlies a Luchador?
Luchador?
Lucadager?
God.
Lachador mask? One of those Mexican wrestling masks.
It means
Madre de Dios.
Milkador.
Milkador. Luchi.
It means warrior.
So I had a wrestling mask on, and I was drinking out of what would be considered a painter's bucket.
Yeah.
But the same thing we had the last time. Yeah, it's so gross.
You drank the whole thing.
They don't make a different
thing.
Flavor?
No, it's one flavor, and it's
really
basically...
Did you know there's beer in it?
It's basically...
There's beer in it.
It's a ratchet-ass sangria. That's what I asked for the ingredients.
It tastes like...
It's sangria.
Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like literal, like you're at a poor person party.
Sure. Yeah. Sugary Kool-Aid.
There was literally a moment in which the girls at Coyote Ugly handed Chuck a, what are those called? Like a hobby horse, a pony with a...
Yeah, it's just a stick with a horse's head.
And Chuck did a sultry masked dance to the Genuine song Pony.
I think it was
Did you
beautiful.
Use any of your Big Frida...
Absolutely.
Bouncing moves.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
He twerked on a stick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Which is probably going to be a snack in New Orleans this year.
That's
this time next year.
All right. So those were our breakfast in bed apologies. After our breakfast in bed apologies, we move on to our steak and eggs best thing. What is your steak and eggs best thing?
Keeping it grizz this week, Chuck. I love... This team, Matt Barnes, when they were playing the Bucks,
the legend,
the man, Matt Barnes. We saw him in those streets. He is basically at the end of the game. John Henson gets ejected for a technical for celebrating after a block. Which, by the way, the Bucks had a block party, like Plumlee.
The Grizzlies will drive right into
Grizzlies.
You.
Don't jump, bro.
The Grizzlies have been susceptible to getting.
Don't
lots
you
of
know
shots.
That Grizzlies can't jump?
They can't jump. But anyway, they. And I guess, you know, the frustration had been building but also John Henson turned into a wrestling character.
He really like did. He did the mean mug. The mean mug was not good.
And
did the Silas Can You Dig It from the Warriors.
Now, to be completely fair, if any of the Grizzlies did this, I would be applauding.
Oh, yeah.
Heartily.
It isn't really the Grizzlies are not a clean basketball team. I don't want to act like, I don't want to act so biased to pretend they are a clean
Goon
basketball
squad,
team.
Basketball Furies.
But they don't do a lot of standing over and Matt Barnes might, can't vouch for him.
No.
I mean, Zeebo will stand over a fallen Blake Griffin, but anybody else, he doesn't really, like when Zeebo had a game saving block on John Luehr. Zeebo does not feel the need to taunt John Luehr because why would he waste his energy? Mm-hmm. You know, that's more of the... But anyway, John Henson. I'm sorry. took your thought.
Yeah. So John Henson freaks out, gets ejected because he had a previous technical foul earlier in the game,
and a flagrant foul. He did the hit for the cycle.
He was kind of that's the cycle. That's the enforcer's cycle, I guess. But he's playing pretend tough guy, and the real tough guy, Matty Barnes, says, "I ain't playing this. Have I been ejected? Because I would like to go speak to."
We lost Keith. He gone. Don't edit that out. Let it ride.
Yeah.
Let it ride.
Stop from.
No, I can breathe. Keep going.
Okay.
Let it ride. You get higher when you cough.
So Matt Barnes says, "Hey, I think I'd like to know if I am ejected from this game because I would like to go speak to one Mr. John Henson." And he does so, which no one really knows what happens after the game. But apparently, Matt Barnes was suspended for one game for attempting to enter the
against
locker room.
Against the Clippers, which we then won.
Yeah, apparently he tried to enter the locker room. I'm curious, John Henson, if he's ejected from the game, if he sees on like the TV monitor, like walking out, if he looks up and he sees Matt Barnes jogging like down the tunnel.
Right.
I would have put on a bulletproof vest.
I'm assuming John Henson might quiver a little bit. And he's like, whoa.
Here's the most frightening part. Matt Barnes looked happy. He did. He looked like Dexter pre-kill.
Oh,
like
yeah.
He has.
He's at peace. He's one like, with the universe. Finally, you know what?
Chuck, we call that a mounting face.
he had the person like, you know what? I'm not sure how to handle myself at all times, but I know what to do right
in
now.
In this situation, I am fully aware of all societal norms.
The strangest thing was the way Dave Yeager was over. Like, he had walked all the way to the opposite end of the court where Matt Barnes was and was like standing beside him and is frantically waving at I don't know who. Mm-hmm. I like the Grizzlies don't really have like Big Bob Thornton like to come and save him. He's waving at the coaches like I need help. He's about to go, and Matt Barnes is standing there totally calm, like do. Nope, I'm gone. Dookie, and just takes off jogging like I'm about to go try to fight somebody.
It's incredible.
Violence is never the answer, except when it is.
When it is, Matt Barnes' greatest quote.
That is, oh man, that's fair. I could talk. So we try not to be so myopic. It's so funny.
Don't care.
I feel like. We're Grizzlies fans, but now you as the Heat fan.
I think if you love basketball.
And the Heat are hot as the Heat.
Yeah, they're very
called
warm.
The Heat. Oh,
but this is a historical season where there are two teams that are, you know, on the verge of, you know, being close to the all-time great win record, which is insane to think about, in the same conference that play each other.
Neither of which are going to get it.
I mean, I don't even know. Like. I don't know. Is your steak and eggs Grizzlies related?
Tisn't.
Good. So because of that, I'll feel fine. I got another one. I'll save it for another segment of the show. So since yours isn't.
Tisn't.
I'm going to keep talking Grizzlies.
I'm canceling the Grizz epilogue again.
No.
There's a whole Grizzlies episode.
So I like that the Grizzlies are terrible. I mean, the Grizzlies are legitimately like maybe like the fourth worst team in the NBA right now.
Could be.
And they're still winning enough, but they've
winning enough, brother.
They've entered the national conversation because they're crazy. They're the Mongol horde.
You have the likes
they're the
of
Dothraki
Haralabob.
Warriors.
You have the likes of the Haralabob and the Zach Lowe commenting.
I also like Kevin Leip from the
Greek chorus of the NBA. Love them
from the Memphis Flyer.
The Twitterati.
His tweet that he always goes back to is when the Grizzlies sense that they have an opportunity to win a game. Through the judicious application of violence, they spring to life.
Absolutely.
That's what it is. I love it. But anyway, so my best thing will be a combination of one, Z-Bo came back. Matt Barnes was suspended. We're like, let's get Z-Bo back.
First Z-Bo block I've ever seen.
Well, first career triple-double.
Wow.
Throws up that...
Insane.
Insane game. He single-handedly just whips the Clippers. The listless Clippers.
It's almost like Blake was playing.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. he whipped them so bad, it was like the playoffs.
Oh, my goodness.
But then, I mean, some shine of that game was taken off because then the Clippers dropped their next game to the lowly Pelicans. So that team's got a little bit of trouble. So yeah. I'm comboing that.
Go get your
that.
Shine box.
I don't know.
We sent them down a tailspin.
In a season of that's been like the darkest timeline Grizzlies season where everything has gone wrong, it's weird that we've come out with two kind of...
Maybe we just all have Stockholm syndrome.
Well, we do have some Stockholm syndrome, but there's two like landmark victories of it. It was just pure joy the whole time. And we've had two guys record their first career triple doubles after the age of 35.
Insanity.
Yeah. Like,
so Keith, you're actually attuned to the Grizzlies zeitgeist, whereas I just exist in my own mad maelstrom. Are we going to re-sign Lance Stephenson?
It's very knowingly
lifetime
self-aware.
Contract.
Lifetime contract.
Well,
Lance
that's what
Stephenson.
I want. But are we going to? Because I desperately want to. I think it fits in perfectly.
Let's table that for
the
Grizzlies epilogue presented by Fan Essentials.
We're going to keep
you waiting. Dude, that's and such great broadcasting. That's what they call a teaser.
It's not great when you actually point it out, though.
Oh, no. This is meta. This is the new podcast life.
I don't like meta text.
Also, people can just skip forward.
I don't even like meta world peace.
Yeah. So what's your steak and eggs, John?
Steph Curry eschewing Nike. I enjoy this.
Oh, just the big the story. There's just a Ethan Strauss wrote a piece today.
Yep.
I mean, this happened many years ago, but yes,
I love it. The details, how Nike like kind of rested on their laurels, and you know, now Under Armour is like taking over, and Under Armour had the foresight to see where the game was going. I think Steph Curry becoming
that's one way to look at it.
Well, I think Steph Curry becoming like the ideal basketball player, I think it's good for the game. I think it opens the game to shorter people.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And people with tiny, cute baby elf children.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of those running around.
Because apparently she was a big part of why he left Nike as well.
Well, real big newsflash, John. Kids don't wear Under Armour. They wear Nikes.
Oh, they wear Under Armour when they get old enough.
They wear Under Armour shirts. They don't wear those shoes. Those shoes are not on basketball courts that aren't paid for by basketball
teams. I think they're saying, but the sales numbers are the Under Armour has made themselves a relevant player in the shoe industry based solely on Steph Curry.
Chuck, I know you're like retro rap sensibilities are going to be offended by this.
The streets.
Under Armour's coming.
The streets.
Under Armour's coming for your boys.
I know what the shoe streets are saying, son. And it ain't
they're coming for the suburbs, Chuck.
Yeah. Well, coming maybe that's it. Suburbs. Maybe the suburbs are it. But yeah.
Look, shoes just go on your feet.
Mm-hmm.
Shirts and shorts and tattoos go all over your body.
Oh, yeah. Especially Clipper
shirts. And those are going to be Under Armour tattoos. Okay.
Right.
All right.
All right.
All right. Now, the opposite of that. What is your cream of wheat? Worst of week? What's the worst thing you saw?
My worst of the week is LeBron James getting stuffed and stared down by the Nuggets' third best tall white guy, Yusuf Nurkic.
I thought that was going to be, and that's only third best healthy white guy. No. I thought that was going to be Chuck's best thing.
Man,
steak and eggs. But you jumped on the Grizzlies.
He swept up
in the Grizzlies bandwagon.
He's grizzled.
Nurkic just. Oh yeah, he just stood over him.
Wasn't the type of stare down that you can associate with like the circumstances of the block. Like he didn't block it and then like kind of land over him. It was like it was like catty corner. He blocked it and then his body was catty corner, turned and stared the man down.
The man likes a stare down. I mean, he got into it with guys last year. He's had run-ins with Marc Gasol. I want to say Boogie as well.
He might be the real Eastern Promises dude we've been thinking about.
He's the Eastern Promises guy.
He's the new Pero Antich.
Exactly. We missed Pero Antich. There was a void. He might fill it. I'm actually glad. I mean, I'm sorry that King Joffrey, I think, twisted an ankle or he got banged up. I can't remember what his specific contusion was.
We've talked about it a lot. The Nuggets have so much talent and so little quality.
Well, coming into this season, we thought Nurkic was going to be good.
Right.
That was one of my reasons I thought they were going to be kind of good.
But
like,
he gets
secretly
hurt.
Good. And
he
then
gets
he
hurt
ended
a lot.
Up, he's done nothing. Like, yeah. He's done nothing the whole year, but I am.
He gets hurt a lot.
It'll be interesting to see what they do in the future. But that was funny. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. He'll get anybody's face.
I love it.
LeBron in general is the worst.
Yeah,
he's had a week of worsts. I don't know if you were going to talk about this, but there's
the Twitter.
There's the Twitter.
I'm not. That's not my style.
But it's this stuff too. Like there's the whole thing with Dwayne Wade where he tells the whole locker room they need to man up and fight for every possession. And then when they're getting killed by the Heat, he goes and hangs out with them at halftime.
Right.
Like LeBron, it's just a bunch of BS lip service all the time.
He's this week on record as saying he would love to play with Carmelo Anthony, Chris Paul, and Dwayne Wade for 1 or 2 years. So
what does that even mean?
So that means in his career he wants to play with those guys. Which,
what does that tell your teammates? His leadership is like Pol Pot level.
No, what I think
it's like
it
John
is,
Jones drink the Kool Aid.
He's
level.
A free agent.
Jim Jones.
Jim Jones was a fabulous leader. John.
They did follow his orders.
I believe he actually has none of the attributes or traits of a charismatic leader.
No, I don't like listening to him speak.
I wonder what level of it is, and this is jumping into the I'm a dumb talking sports head, of the how much of it is him growing up in a not real bubble.
No, sure. This is
because he's never had a real life.
He pays someone to cut his food.
Well, right. this is it to me. You know, it's almost as if he's the worst, most spoiled, popular girl in high school.
Yeah,
and he wants to.
His
make,
name's Kelly. Kelly right. James.
And Kelly's never had a bad day in her life, right. But then has to create a world of drama around her. So she unfollows her friends on Instagram, mm-hmm. and she does BS subtweeting of her friends because she has to be popular and also has to control everything around her because she's never not had everything she wanted.
All it takes is one Facebook post saying Kelly's a slut.
Yeah, LeBron.
And it all falls down.
Your name's Kelly.
You're slutty, LeBron.
Like Tripuca.
Yeah, Kelly Tripuca's slutty.
The main thing I don't understand
Kelly
about
Olenek
it is even though he's lived in a fishbowl his whole life, a fishbowl of privilege as it is, even though he's done that, how does he not understand that it's going to be a big deal?
Right.
Everything he does is detrimental to his team. It's unreal.
Well, then I think someone made a good point pointing out that, like, he was kind of set up.
Except for have triple doubles. I should take that back.
Right, right. He was set up by a reporter to be like, LeBron, what does it mean when you unfollowed the Cavs? And then his kind of unprepared response was then replayed on Cavs TV mm-hmm. and retweeted by the official Cavs. Like, it does seem like the Cavs are kind of maybe not the most awesome run organization.
No,
I mean, they are self-producing mm-hmm. this footage, this media content, and distributing it that makes LeBron look bad.
Right.
And it's like, guys, he holds you over the barrel by only signing 1-year contracts.
They right. where they eat.
Like, you gotta maybe be a little more aware.
I think what's going on now is LeBron, all that, you know, all the praise of coming back home's subsided. There's another team, two other teams that are doing better than his in the league. He's realizing, I think, partially that he was in a very good organization in Miami.
Oh, yeah.
The Cavs had, in the 4 years he was gone, 3 number one draft picks, 2 that they missed on pretty badly. And, you know, that to me shows you have an awful organization top to bottom. You know, and then couple the fact that the Ty Lue thing with the David Blatt thing. It's just
I think the organizational thing is a little overblown, though, because LeBron had come back to Cleveland with the greatest repurposing of a career that I could remember. Because, Chuck, you may not know this, but when LeBron went to Miami, everyone but you hated him.
I know.
Like, unreservedly.
And now everyone but me loves him.
No.
I know.
He had that going when he returned as the conquering hero. He had that going for him. I think people hate him again. I hate him again.
I think he got, there's some mixture of the grass is always greener, and then he gets swept away with this storyline of I will be the conquering hero. Mm-hmm. And after falling out of the playoffs, everything falls into place. He's like, you know what? I'm going to go home. Mm-hmm. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to go home. He gets home. He's like, oh, yeah, this place is a dump.
Right.
This place is run by terrible people.
It's a lemonade stand.
A predatory loan arena. Mm-hmm. Like, this is maybe not the best place to be. So I don't know. And it just so happens, while their team is super good, they are in the shadow. And I know the Raptors are close to catching them.
Right.
In the standings. Not that really matters. It's just going to make the Raptors losing in the first round even more painful. But you have, they're running up against the Spurs and Warriors, where it's like LeBron's thinking, like, you know, maybe just the sun and moon did not align perfectly
for this.
He's not
in the spotlight, and nobody puts LeBaby in a corner.
Right.
Anyway.
It may have something to do, too, with he wants all of the attention next summer.
At all times.
When KD's coming and being a free agent in the upcoming offseason. So maybe he's preemptively looking for attention, which is a thing egomaniacs do.
I really spread a lot of cream of wheat all over this.
That was a lot of cream of wheat. My cream of wheat is going to be short. I'm just going to say,
thank you.
Anthony Davis.
Yep.
We don't even get to see him play anymore. I mean, it's hard to think of a more lost year. Like, you have teams like, again, our team, the Grizzlies, are having a terrible year. Other teams have a big injury problem years, you know, last year. But this was, again, a team that people thought would make the playoffs. People assumed he was a favorite for MVP preseason, and he's just
been
in and out, and I shut it down, and terrible.
I thought about suggesting to Chuck that he fabulate a conspiracy theory about this, in which Anthony Davis loses $24 million for not making an All-NBA team, but then I looked at the All-NBA teams and realized he's still going to make the All-NBA
team. There's still a good chance. Well, there's 5 guys for sure ahead of him.
Mm-hmm. Well, he can also qualify as a center.
It's arguing who the 6 would be.
He can qualify as a center. That's so he actually has, like, He has, instead of 6 slots, he has 9 slots.
Yeah, he's kind of got a point.
I think whomever does it will actually reward him. Mm-hmm. I feel like he'll be rewarded. Because as it turns out, he's been playing with a torn labrum for some time.
It's a panel of sports writers and broadcasters.
Never mind.
So
scorn him.
They all know. I feel like they all know.
Scornful chicken finger eating animals.
That there's $24 million at stake. So, I don't know. Chuck, what do you got for cream of wheat?
Oh, man. You know what the worst thing that happened this week? Fife Dog from Tribe Called Quest died. And, you know, that's the worst thing for me.
Objection. That's not Memphis Grizzlies related.
You're right.
Nor basketball related. Can we start over?
Okay. How about instead of real world tragedies, which we avoid at all costs, least Fife Dog had a connection, NBA fan.
He did. Huge NBA fan. And to top it all off, Starks got ejected. So, which is a Fife Dog lyric that I probably shouldn't have used. Because
I'm going to lend you a Memphis Grizzlies worst thing. Mm-hmm. Grizzlies done wasted Tony Allen's perfect game.
Dude, that was 12. That is about the craziest. I mean, Zebo's triple double at 49 years old.
Not as crazy.
Aside,
Matt Barnes triple double at 44 years old.
Not as crazy.
Tony Allen not missing a shot, and in the season so far, no one has made 12 shots and not missed.
Yeah.
So he has done something no one in this season of historic shooting has done.
Kobe had praised him as the best defender he'd ever faced.
Right.
Tony Allen is like, this is the last time I've ever going to play Kobe. I'm going to shoot him out.
He went in. And
I call that game the Dirty Dozen game.
But here's my thing. Is it the worst? I'm kind of okay with the Lakers losing a draft pick place or a ping pong ball or two based on this win.
Ooh, I like it. Taking the long view.
No, yeah. That's good. That's the perspective we need, John. As Grizzlies fans, we're too focused on that was win number 42, and 42 probably gets us in the playoff. You know, we're gonna go 1-9 over our last 10.
Right.
We need to go 1-9 over your last 10.
I remember beating the Clippers not too long ago.
It's true.
That's some good optimism.
Without Matt Barnes. That was one of those games where I bet against the Grizzlies. I went, Matt Barnes is out. He's the glue. Mm-hmm. I'm betting against the Grizzlies, and they rolled. Zebo said, get on my back.
All right, those were our cream of wheats. All right, before we get to our scattered and smothered, I want to tell you about Fan Essentials, fanessentials.net. They are a subscription service where you get NBA gear sent to your house, and we are giving away, on our next show, we are giving away a free Fan Essentials box for any team that you want. So you can get a box of goodies for your favorite team sent to your house. To enter, all you have to do is write us a 5-star iTunes review, and you can say pretty much anything you want. Just make sure you include in there some way to contact you, whether that be your Twitter handle or an email or something like that, so we can know who you are. Or if you don't want to do that, you can contact us at fastbreakbreak or fastbreakbreak@gmail.com.
For those living off the grid.
Right. To claim your review. But anyway, I think we're letting the people in who reviewed last time and did not win, but you have great, great odds to win yourself some free NBA gear. Otherwise, you can just buy it. You can get they have packages starting at $14.99 and enter the code FBBF for 30% off.
Think about it. Anything sports related that you're going to purchase will cost you at least $14.99. Now you get a box of aforementioned apparel for only $14.99.
It's pretty awesome. And if you use the code FBBF, as in Fast Break Breakfast, we get a taste. All right.
If you don't use that code, you're a nihilist.
Hassan Whiteside cocks it back to Waffle House presents Scattered, Smothered, Covered Thoughts. Real quick, running around the NBA, what are some other things that we've seen going on?
Dub Spurs, what have ye?
That was gross. Could have picked Steph Curry for worst of week. Mm. Not showing up at the biggest game of the millennia.
Hey. That's not why they lost. It's a big part of why. But if the Dubs want to win that game, you need to shut down something called Boris Diaw and the LaMarcus Aldridge Boris Diaw high pick and roll.
What was that?
You can't stop that man.
Bobo went cray cray.
He's powered by croissants.
You know the reason they lost that game. It wasn't so much the cold shooting. The Iguodala absence was felt.
Harry Barnes.
Nah, he's
here's
Harry
the
Barnes.
Here's the thing where you're like,
I know you like Harry Barnes, but No.
In a normal year, you'd be like, oh, he cost himself a lot of money. Mm-hmm. There's no costing yourself money this year because everyone is going to still pay
him. Somebody's going to throw the max.
Someone's going to pay him. But yeah, you're right. Iguodala was definitely needed.
Yeah.
Desperately.
And when you look at the Warriors, who are their playmakers? Sorry to step on you, Chuck, but who are their playmakers? A couple of their best playmakers are Bogut and Iguodala.
Right.
Yeah.
Passing. And they weren't there.
And no Festus.
I actually think that Pop may have tipped his hand too much.
See, I don't even think I felt like I read some things saying that the Spurs didn't run some of their stuff. That I think both people
I really
felt
doubt
that
it.
Way.
They threw a starting lineup out there without Duncan. Like that to me, that's something they're going to do in the playoffs.
Okay,
that was a lineup of doom counterpunch.
Right.
That he actually showed too early. So I think it's fun to see Pop get hubristic.
Well, maybe Pop. I mean, as Chuck has been pointing out, it was still feasible for them to run the table. Maybe he wanted to do it
at also, that time before they lost.
Also, I mean,
yeah, run the table to
everyone's
to get the,
making a the, big the hubbub record. About it. I mean, Warriors were in it at the end. There were 3-point shots taken that could have swayed the
game.
Oh
yeah, yeah. I mean, it was a close game. It was a good game.
But it's funny that the Cognoscenti is definitely painting it as like a real shift in like the Warrior or the Spurs are the top of all the power rankings now. Yeah. To hell with that. I still would rather face the Spurs than the Warriors.
Yeah.
And then the seven game series. The Warriors are coming down to the record. They only have to go win 10 of their last 12. Mm-hmm. And I think 9 of those games were at home.
Yeah.
So they have to go 10-2 and they'll set the all-time NBA wins record.
Oh yeah, but everyone's saying they're not going to do it now. It's amazing. It's amazing.
You just said it.
No, that was a joke earlier. I was kidding.
Right. Yeah, no. I think it's a slam dunk.
Yeah.
No, I think that's a team that has the focus of the repeat championship coming off of the win. That this whole season they've been locked in.
If they don't do it, it's a colossal choke. Like a Jean Vandeveld.
Right.
Sorry to use a golf reference. Choke.
I assume that was a filmmaker.
Yeah, me too. I thought he made a movie called Choke. No,
Chuck Palahniuk.
Right.
Choke.
Is that how you say his name?
That's how John does.
Yeah, I don't think you can. I think in order for a team to really beat the Warriors, you're going to keep them under 80 points. I mean, no one's doing that. And that's what the Spurs had to do.
That's what they did.
On the road.
79 points.
Yeah, I mean, they had the Warriors in one of those kind of like aberration games where nobody's on.
Well,
even with guys out, they were still kind
of... And one of the weirder things...
They were in there.
Yeah. One of the weirder things is the next game, the Warriors looked pretty terrible playing the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
And also could have easily lost that game if it wasn't for a couple of plays down the stretch. Like, they were losing a lot of that game.
Yeah, yeah. They were, I think, within
and
two with a couple
minutes. And it's, again,
minute,
the same thing. Steph has now put together a couple games in a row, which is not weird for other people. But for Steph, you're like, oh, 2 games in a row of not being
this
unstoppable.
Aberrant performance, like, kind of slippage, may be the best thing possible for the Warriors, though.
You got to think you want to feel some more adversity than they've had.
Yeah, and going into the playoffs like on a winning streak or something like that, I think it does mess you up in the long run because you got to learn how to lose. And once you lose once after you've been on a streak, you saw it with the Spurs years back when they went in and lost 4 in a row to the
Thunder.
Before the Thunder went to the finals. So I think those long winning streaks, they're no good. You have to be scared. You have to lose a game for that stuff to really come in.
Well, then the Spurs blew their... The game they
were supposed to win.
The Spurs had a huge... They immediately lost to the Hornets.
Yeah. But then the Hornets have been...
Incredible.
Since the All-Star break. I think they're 17-4 now.
Kemba,
who I talked about last week.
He's so great. Jeremy Lin kind of plays okay.
Oh, Jeremy Lin with an unbelievable performance against the Spurs. 29 points.
Yeah.
There's a man earning money. Free agent to be.
I think it's the haircut.
It depends what haircut he has.
He got the haircut, which if you live in East Nashville is the only haircut you can have. He got the haircut, and now he's playing phenomenal.
Yeah, Adam Levine Maroon 5 haircut? Flip over to the side, pompadour.
I'm not into reality TV, so I'm not going to answer that.
I still think Steve Clifford is, for me, if we're not giving the coach of the year to Kerr or Popovich, for me, he's the front
Hello,
runner.
Dave Yeager.
No, thanks.
Coach of the year. That's the new rally cry. I also agree. Dave Yeager, no.
No thanks.
There are a lot of coaches on the Grizzlies.
Yeah, yeah. I just think, again, like based on my preseason prediction, I thought the Hornets were not going to win any games. I thought they were going to be awful.
Yeah.
And now they're on fire. I mean, they're 10 games over 500. They're playing great.
Yeah.
They're in that. They're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
They're going to be a meddlesome team in the playoffs.
I think it depends.
I don't
on
think they can win a,
if they
a series.
If they hit their shots in the playoffs, and there's a solid chance they do not.
Right.
When the game slows down that extra 22% and gets that much more intense, they don't have any
They need
experience.
To pick up a player from the Chinese League right before the playoffs as a scorer.
Need to get some of that.
Beasley would have fit right in.
I need to get some veteran.
How about Beasley dropping 30 the other night? What in the hell is going on?
Beasley is... The Rockets are
scintillating.
A mystery.
They really
He's
are.
A scoring machine, Bees.
He does what he do.
I think I got something.
What is it?
So we've had a conspiracy here going for a while on Fast Break Breakfast about the Morris twins.
Right.
The Fighting Morai.
And I think it's official. I think we can officially say the double reverse parent trap happened. Those guys left, and everything is on paper such so that Markieff is actually Marcus, and Marcus is actually Markieff.
Good for them.
Markieff. Not even one of them.
Not even one.
Markieff de Sade.
Yeah. Marcus has been on fire this week.
Yeah.
Play That's great. Markieff.
Exactly.
See how it's confusing?
So, I mean, if you look at their stats per season, their per game numbers, literally, it's this year that they flipped. That Marcus is scoring more than Markieff.
They switched.
They literally switched.
I think
this isn't a conspiracy. This is fact.
This is now fact.
Now
this is
stuck.
Hard science.
Now they're stuck.
This is like the disturbing thing I saw someone just randomly retweet, like Agent Orange. Like originally Agent Orange was a conspiracy. Like, oh, it really kills everyone it touches, even like the soldiers putting it out. Like, no. But now it's like, oh no, that's absolute fact, and the government has just quit denying it. Like they're still not gonna do anything about it.
No.
Like, yeah, no. We killed lots of our own people. They all have cancer. Yeah.
This is super light podcast.
Super light. Sorry.
We're all about melting eyes.
Right.
But yeah, deal. But I'll melt your eyes with that conspiracy. That is solid. You can write that down.
That's right.
Nothing conspiratorial about it.
Chuck's Turkey Bacon Conspiracy Theory broke that story, and now it has been official. I've seen other people tweeting it. Marcus and Markieff are pulling off a double reverse parrot trap.
And it worked. Like
you owe us royalties, Twitterati.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of the Eastern Conference playoff race, I'm curious who you guys got. There's now two spots left for the Pacers, Bulls, Pistons, and Wizards. The Pistons are tied with the Bulls, but with the worst percentage right now. They've played fewer games.
I'm going to go with not Bulls.
Yeah, I think
so. The Bulls are still in. I mean, right? Yeah. If the playoffs ended today, I mean, if the season ended today, they're in. So and the Wizards are a game and a half back. So you're saying... Who do you got?
The only reason I like the Bulls is because they play the Grizzlies soon at our Rebel.
That's
the only reason I like them.
That's good chance that's a win.
That's like a Solomon's choice of like nightmarish. That's a reverse Sophie's choice.
The Pacers have lost whatever they had.
Right.
In my mind,
they're the Eastern Conference Dallas Mavericks.
They really are, and I don't like watching them play at all anymore.
No.
But because of that. I feel like they'll definitely be in.
Well, yeah. Do you remember what the Pacers did?
Mai Tai Lawson just felt like a desperate gambit.
Well, they're giving him minutes, and it's not going well. I think it may have affected George Cisco Hill's mental visage, as it were. And right. He's not playing as well. Mm-hmm. And they're a mess.
The Wizards have won five in a row as of this taping. Who knows what they do tonight?
I mean, the Wizards are the sexy choice to pick, but I don't buy that either.
I'm kind of losing my faith in the Pistons pulling it out, even though I thought they would. I'm going to stick. Too. I think it's going to stay how it is. I think the Pacers and the Bulls are going to not excitedly.
Well, you know
make
what?
The playoffs.
There is a bright side in the Bulls. They're still playing Taj Gibson, but they're also giving Bobby Portis 25 plus minutes every night, and he's helping out.
OG Bobby Portis.
Absolutely. Marlo Stansfield is doing work on the court.
Chuck, who do you think is going to make it between the Pacers, Bulls, Pistons, and Wizards?
I really like the Pistons. I love Stan.
No, I like the Pistons too, but I don't feel like they're going to do it.
But I think Stan, what I root for is Pistons. What my heart tells me is this kind of, it probably Pacers 8, Bulls 7.
How exactly are the Raptors going to feel when they overtake the Cavs, get that one seed, and then they're either facing probably the Bulls or the Wizards?
They'll feel fine.
They're going, you're crazy.
They'll feel fine.
They can't beat the Bulls.
I think.
Like they've lost, I don't know how many in a row. Like,
yeah. I think, I don't think the Bulls are making the
playoff Randy Whitman.
I think that the Raptors are going to celebrate their first round victory like it's 1999 and then bow out gracefully in five in round two.
It sounds
they're going to pretend that that first round victory is winning the World Cup in 1972.
I desperately hope our friends to the north do get a playoff series win.
You know what? I'm against the friends of the north right now because like we're in this election nightmare, and like I have to read about how wonderful Canada is all the time.
Yeah,
so I'm against them right now.
Oh, you're just down on
They're too snooty. Too snooty about it.
I've always hated Drake, so.
Hey, good on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good on you. All right.
I also hate baby dragons.
Let's move on to the awards segment of the evening.
The Iship?
The International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award. This is given each week to the worst performance in a box score, focused on shooting numbers.
Real quick, can we give a reverse eye shop to Tony Allen? First ever reverse eye shop?
An anti-eye shop? That's exactly
just Tony
what
being
is.
Tony, guys.
The Bishop? That was not Tony being
that
Tony.
Was Tony being opposite of Tony.
I refuse to be surprised by anything that man does.
You know what? I do appreciate that because he is walking chaos.
Walking chaos. All right. Honorable mention this week, Steph Curry, as we said, pooping the bed in the game of the year, going 4 for 18.
How did he not get in?
Well, he did other things. And also 4 for 18 is, you know, there's worse percentages.
Kobe.
Also honorable mention to the game we attended. Matt Barnes, we kept taking guesses. Oof. How many shots do you think Matt Barnes has taken?
That one.
That was a game we played. Uh-huh. Ended up he took 21 shots.
Yikes.
Only made 6. Anyway, our three nominees, as they occurred chronologically through the last 7.5 days, Kristaps Porzingis, who's been done murdered by Kurt Rambis. Kristaps Porzingis in a loss to the Warriors, 1 for 11.
Yep.
2.7 boards, 3 assists, 2 turnovers. Marcus Smart, who had a real, real bad shooting week.
Marcus Smart is in the midst of a serious slump. Since being moved to the bench, ain't working out.
I like how people compare him to Tony Allen, but Tony Allen has always shot the ball at a good percentage.
What about Brad Stevens loving terrible player Evan Turner? It's turned my head upside down.
I saw the Knicks are going to offer Evan Turner a contract. That's hilarious.
That's wonderful.
Anyway.
Maybe that's what Brad Stevens is doing. It's a bait and switch.
It could be. That'd be brilliant. Marcus Smart in a win. Also, 1 for 11.
Both of these guys were my fantasy team. I'm well acquainted.
3 points, 3 boards, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 turnover.
May have been the same night.
Ish Smith, who was also... falling off a cliff.
Ish Smith is like the parish line player.
Ish Smith is the ish we thought we knew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They are who we thought they are.
He's rubbish.
Anyway, Ish Smith, 2 for 15, 4 points, 9 boards, 4 assists, 3 steals, 1 turnover. All these guys at least took care of the ball pretty much. So we have Ish Smith, 2 for 15, Marcus Smart and Kristaps both went 1 for 11.
Marcus Smart.
Smart, what do you think, Chuck?
Go through the other stats.
I do like Porzingis.
He didn't
look at Marcus.
Marcus Smart, 3 points, 3 boards, 1 assist, 1 turnover.
That's a point guard.
That's nothing.
Yeah. It's like he didn't play.
It's like he did. It's like he only missed shot. I think
everything he did was negative.
All right, let's go, Marky.
I'm going to make it unanimous because I am slightly swayed by him going 1 for 10.
Yeah.
Also this week. So Marcus Smart, congratulations.
You garbage. Garbage.
You have been terrible.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Our par fadeaway. What are we looking forward to in the coming week?
Rabbling on Monday.
We are rabbling on Monday for Celtics. Marcus Smart, shove it in our face.
Bring it, Marcus.
Make us apologize. So internet friends, you listen to us. You go to rabble.tv or on your Rabble app. We will be doing this online. Listen to the game, watch the game, the Clippers and Celtics on Monday night, NBA TV. We'll be doing that. But also want to push, thing we're looking forward to, if you live in Nashville, we will be at Jed's Sports Bar for the official Memphis Grizzlies watch party on April 5th.
That's 4-5.
Bulls, Grizzlies. But again, everyone else online can listen to us. If you aren't in Nashville, we will be broadcasting that through the Rabble app. I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to. I always take the Kings under because Boogie Cousins has never won 30 games. Looked like they were going to get it. Now, Kings have 27 games with 10 to play.
Ain't going to do it.
Oh, 2 for 8 sounds right.
Disarray. They've got Doug Christie like in a scatological way right now.
Man
is on the verge of dropping Boogie F-bombs on TV.
Is Boogie Cousins going to be first team All-NBA and still have never been on a team that has won 30 games?
Boogie Cousins may very well be like, I don't want to say Dan Marino because Dan Marino was actually a great player, but I just don't see him ever doing a damned thing.
I mean, there's players that wasted away in horrible organizations that went on in later in their career. I think he could be a Kevin Garnett that maybe catches one on the right team as a
he is
not center
unequivocally
guy.
Incredibly talented and good at the skills of basketball.
Right,
not good at defense.
He is when he does play.
When he tries, yeah.
I mean, it's all.
I maintain if you put Zaza Pachulia, if you swapped him and Boogie Cousins.
Don't say Zaza because Zaza has fallen apart.
No. The long season has not been good to poor Zaza.
No.
However, if you just platooned Zaza and Costa Kufis at the center, I'm pretty sure the Kings still have 27 wins.
Sure.
And there's a good chance they haven't cycled through.
Because then you have something called rim protection.
I know that organization is garbage.
Right.
But some of the blame falls on him. And I don't know. Anyway.
I think
I'm looking forward to seeing, to cheering if I nailed their win-loss at 29. And
at the end of the season, we're going 53. To look at the actual wagers I made for over-under. And I want to be proclaimed as Nostra Dumbass and king of the entire world. Because we nailed it this year, boys.
I don't know if I did. I think I'm way off.
I think I missed a few, like the Suns.
I had the Pelicans in.
Ooh.
Well, I think we all took the under on the Pelicans, though.
Yeah.
No worries.
Because the over was insane. It's like Alvin Gentry is coming to town. Exactly. Yeah. Yaggity schmaggity doo.
Yeah. They tricked us. All right. You guys, thanks for listening. Stick around for the Grizzlies epilogue presented by Fan Essentials. Follow us on Twitter at Fast Break Break. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on rabble.tv. All right, thanks for listening. You guys are the best. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing. All right, welcome to the Grizzlies epilogue presented by Fan Essentials. Once again, remember, Fan Essentials is a subscription service. They have the rookie box at $14.99 and then the veteran box costs more. I honestly don't remember what it is, but it has all kinds of good stuff that you want. And if you use the promo code FBBF, as in Fast Break Breakfast, you not only get 30% off, but we get a dollar or two from that purchase to help defray the costs of drinking beer.
Speaking of defrayment.
Yes, John.
The only thing defraying this wantonly horrible season as a Grizzlies fan is how humorous it has become.
Call it Stockholm Syndrome. Call it, I don't know what else to call it.
It's like when the Mets were really bad back in the day and the fans kind of embraced it.
But it's weird because they're not, they are terrible, but they're in a playoff race. And there's still a hope that they're going to make, you know, maybe win a series.
I think they're going to make the playoffs.
Oh, they're definitely going to make
the playoffs. They're not going to win a series. There is literally no chance.
I think if they match up with the Clippers are a fire. Without Blake Griffin.
They've played without Blake Griffin for a lot of the season this year very well.
It would be an upset, but it is conceivable to me that they could beat the Clippers. I mean, the Clippers are starting three non-shooters. Right. And this is a league where you're like, oh, you can't do that anymore. But like when they rolled out Luke Mbamute and Jeff Green and DeAndre Jordan, you're like, oh, how is that ever going to work?
Doc is not responding well right now. But unfortunately for any playoff chances, I do think Doc, like this losing streak will wake him up. And he'll be forced to put out a lineup that works.
As far as the Grizzlies, though, the problem is, they are almost certainly, in my mind, not going to hold on to that five spot.
Certainly not.
The Blazers,
I'm frankly stunned by the number of games we've won lately.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so the problem is, the good thing is that it looks like it's going to be very hard for all of the teams chasing the Grizzlies to get to 41 wins. The Grizzlies already have 41 wins. So if they lose their last 10, there's still a chance that they would get in the playoffs. So we're in the weird and uncomfortable position of focusing on, oh, please just win a game. Like 10 games left. Can we win two? That'd be great.
I am remotely satisfied with some of the moves the Grizzlies have been making. I have what you might call a farmer's tan.
So
I am pro Jordan Farmer. I think he is a much better player than both McCollum and the dearly departed, or soon to be dearly departed, Briante Weber.
He is dearly departed. Officially dearly departed.
The 10-day contract was not re-signed.
This was a question I was going to ask you, but you've answered it.
Right.
So you prefer the McCollum and Farmer to some combination or keeping Briante Weber?
Quite simply, Farmer is better in every single aspect of the game.
I disagree on, even though he's undersized, I thought Briante Weber actually made some things happen with getting some deflections, loose balls,
Jordan
and things.
Farmer did that the other night too, though. He had some timely steals,
but I don't
bring
think
us
it's
back
really
into a game.
Part of his game, and I felt like Bronte's main problem was he never even looked at the goal.
Bronte Weber was outside looked at the ball when he dribbled.
Yeah, that's not great either. So I mean, I think there's some people who are like, why are we not looking to
Jordan
look towards the future?
Farmer's probably our second best scorer right now.
Well, that's just
I'm not kidding with you.
That's a dark. I mean, Tony Allen, and then who? Tony Allen's killing it. Tony Allen has scored over 20 points three times in the last 10.
It doesn't make sense.
10 games and hadn't done it in 4 years.
Oh, so beautiful.
I feel like I've just been living my life right, and this is my gift. It's just Tony Allen.
Your gift is a worst playoff basketball team ever.
it's going to be rough. So, but I honestly think that they can hang. I mean, it's going to be the Trailblazers have a pretty easy schedule, and I assume they're going to get it together.
The rosebud on the end of this thorny stem is that the people are getting behind the Memphis Grizzlies. They're becoming lovable. They're the Bad News Bears, so to speak.
They really are the Bad News Bears.
I'd love to replace Jaeger with Walter Matthau.
We watched that Timberwolves loss, and it was ugly. But then, they followed it with that Clippers win, which is, again, like one of the most joyous Grizzlies watches in a while. Like, it was just fun the whole way through. So the Suns win was funny. So Lance, you talked about Lance earlier.
Lifetime contract
and
Lance.
We teased it too. So Lance is owed, has a team option of, I think, $9.7 million.
Right.
Over $9 million. If they...
I know that sounds bad, but it's really not.
Well, if they sign Mike Conley, you know, a $25 million contract,
right,
and then if they keep that contract, they don't have a whole lot to work with. You can't...
Right.
There's no more... Everyone wants to keep the max option open for Mike and someone else. The problem is, again, if you think the Grizzlies have a shot at Nick Batum, then you kind of want to keep it
open.
They
don't have a shot at Nick Batum.
I think you could come up with a narrative. I'm just devil's advocating you.
Right.
You could come up with a narrative where maybe Marc Gasol, through international play, has a connection, and he's like, hey, why don't you come play here?
Not only do they not have a shot at Nick Batum, they shouldn't even want to take the shot at Nick Batum. Because honestly, Nick Batum, more often than not, has been a poor shooter and has been exactly the type of player that has kept the Grizz where they are. Whereas Lance Stephenson, who's not going to get anywhere near a max contract, can be a useful player.
Yeah.
He is. I mean, they're similar players.
So Nick Batum, I'm wary of, and again, this is getting ahead of ourselves.
He's no Chris Middleton, Keith.
Oh, I know, and he is. I think he's a contract year guy.
I absolutely
because
believe
he was
that.
Not good the last. I mean, no. He was terrible last year.
No, yeah, I don't want Nick Batum.
So, but that's the thing. But he's going to be in so much demand, and then it's like, do you want to get an Evan Fournier? And I don't even think Evan Fournier is a feasible addition. Like,
well, at least Evan Fournier fulfills a need that the Grizzlies need, which is scoring.
Right.
So I at least understand like overpaying for a guy like that, as opposed to overpaying for like young Matt Barnes, which is what Nick Batum feels to me.
I think when I want to
a 3-and-D guy who's not even really a 3 guy, I don't get it.
But him playing 3 or even the 2 in Charlotte has actually worked this year.
It's worked, but he's in a contract year.
But I think what I want to get across though is it's a season where there's going to be like 6 guys that people want to get. And I assume the Grizzlies aren't going to get one of those 6 guys.
Right.
So I think I'm fine with
$9 million for a year, Lance, and
taking him. But then it's going to be, he's going to run a second unit. Just the fact that he can penetrate and the fact that he feels like he can be a part of this team and find a home with these Grizzlies seems like a good thing.
He may lead the league in turnovers per 60, but he also leaves the league in huge belly laughs.
His ability to get
I don't know about that first stat. I made it up.
His ability to get to the rim still keeps it shocks me.
I just like it when he starts dribbling it between his legs right as he crosses half court.
He loses fewer of those than I think he's going to.
It's wild.
I honestly, in the Lakers loss, I was really bummed out because I felt like he was wildly underused. Watching that game like, why isn't Lance in?
Let me put this in terms you can understand.
He's all we have.
Tony Allen's very old.
Yeah, yeah.
Tony Allen's your least favorite player. Or your favorite player. Excuse me.
I was like, what?
Most favorite player.
Yeah.
Who on the Grizzlies most resembles an heir to Tony Allen's throne?
If Lance ever turned that D up, he could.
And couldn't he?
Maybe he could.
Do you remember when Tony Allen was young and tried to play offense?
Yeah.
It wasn't as good as when he truly dedicated himself to first team all defense.
Yeah, so you're all in on the Lance and you want him to
lifetime contract. I'm pounding this Jonathan Abrams basketball book on the table. That's my sentence.
That's perfect. All right, so that's all we needed to get to. I mean, again, so for Grizzlies fans, what we're looking at now is a team that you hope they're going to win one or two more games. Mike Conley comes back. Birdman stays healthy. And I think this team can upset the Clippers. I do not think they can upset the Thunder. And if they fall
two to word response for you,
7 or 8,
you high.
I'm seeing nothing from the Clippers. And I think psychologically, that's a team that
we definitely got them beat upstairs.
We have guys that just own them. And I feel like things are. It's not all about what the Grizzlies are doing. It's what's happening to the Clippers. But again, I hope they might implode. But one final last time, I do not think the Grizzlies will hang on to the 5 seed.
We're gonna play the Warriors.
Let's just buckle up and hope for the best. Hope for the fun ride. And maybe we'll keep Lance Stephenson. We'll keep having these fun. He'll be leading the fun second unit of next year. All right, you guys. Thanks for listening to the Grizzlies Epilogue. Chuck's giant not for drugs beeper went off, so he took off. That's why he had to. He was rightfully excused.
He had to swipe that right.
Yeah, they gotta swipe right. All right, you guys are the best. Thanks for listening. Y'all have a good one.
Arrive safely.